Good morning, everyone. Today's lesson from Living with Shiva is lesson 54. Oh, to give a short introduction. This is drawing on Saivasiddhanta philosophy. Oh, in Saivasiddhanta philosophy, we have three primary concepts, pati, pasu, and pasam. Pati is God Shiva, of course, pasu is the soul, and pasam is bondage. I was doing a keynote recently, which is the Mac PowerPoint, and doing something on bondage, so looking on Google Images for a rope with three strands. So I have a nice image there. Rope with three strands to represent possum. So bondage is threefold. Anava, karma, and maya are the three components of bondage or the three strands. So that's what we're talking about here. Anava, karma, and maya are what makes up bondage. Why aren't we with God Shiva? Why are we stuck here? You know, we got some bondage. Yogi Swami told Gurudeva, let go of the rope. No one explained what the rope was for a while. Finally, they figured out the rope was bondage. Pasam, it was a philosophical rope that he was supposed to let go of, not a physical rope. Oh, we have pasam is threefold. Maya, the ever-perpetuating dance of creation, preservation, and dissolution. Oh, in common philosophical use, when you hear the word maya, you think of illusion. That's because the dominant philosophy in the Hindu world is Shankara's Mayavadin philosophy, in which maya means it's unreal, doesn't really exist. Well, maya in Saivasiddhanta exists, it's just constantly changing. That's why Gurudeva writes, the ever-perpetuating dance, it's constantly changing. There's nothing permanent about it. So it's a reality, but it's constantly changing. Maya, the ever-perpetuating dance of creation, preservation, and dissolution. Karma, Gurudeva clarifies, our parabdha karma, brought with us to face in this life, along with the karma we are creating now and will cause in the future. And anava, the ego, ignorance, or sense of separation. So karma, we all know. Anava is an interesting concept. We live in our normal state of consciousness in a sense of separation and being an individual. But in the deeper sense, everything is really one all the time. Paramaguru Yogaswami liked to remind everyone, he would say, how many people are here? And the correct answer is just one, Swami, just one. So we tend to forget, we identify and we think of ourselves as a separate being rather than being just the one being. That's anava. Well, anava, karma, and maya are there for a reason. We're not just supposed to throw them all away on day one. You know, they were given to us as a tool. But we have to use them. We have to understand them. Gurudeva likes the analogy to student, classroom, and teacher. Remember? Oh, the student, of course, is the anava. Classroom is maya, and the teacher is the law of karma. So the teacher is invisible. So the lessons are a bit subtle, because no one's there explaining it. You know, you have to figure it out yourself. I did this, and this happened as a result. Is that result something I want to experience or not? So we have to figure it out, that actions cause reactions, and that's the learning experience. Oh, it's a classroom, but we need to learn. What does it mean if we're not learning? Well, it means couple of things. It means whatever happens to us is somebody else's fault, right? If things go wrong, it's somebody else's fault. It's not our fault. We're constantly blaming other people and therefore retaliating in one form or another, at least with some unkind words or thoughts, but because they did something to us. So that's called reacting to the karma. I like to do it numerically. If you come into life with 100 karmas, and then somebody does something to you, which of course is getting rid of one of them, you're down to 99, right? But then when you get mad at them for doing that to you, you're back up to 100, right? So that's what I mean. You have to learn. We have to learn from the experience. We've got the Maya there, the world. We're a person. And we have the law of karma trying to teach us. What's it trying to teach us? It's trying to teach us to understand the behavior that is conducive to the unfoldment of the soul. That's what it's trying to teach us, by showing us consequences. But we need to be a good student, be attentive, and then we're benefiting from the process. There's an interesting statement Gurudeva makes when he defines moksha, the third aspect to it. If we think about, well, what's required to achieve moksha, we think, well, we have to realize God in some way. And if we've studied Gurudeva's teachings, the second thought to come to mind would be, well, we have to resolve all karma. Obviously, there can't be something, if we want to not come back here, we can't have anything we have to do here because of our past actions. We have to resolve all karma. That's easy to get, but the third one is the one that's easy to live out. He says, fulfill all dharma. What does that mean? Well, that means we need to take life seriously and accomplish things. I'm a doctor. I'm going to be a very good doctor. I'm an attorney. I'm going to really help people by being a good attorney. We need to take life seriously, take who we are seriously, and do it well, and do that for many lives. Well, why is that? Because that matures the soul. When we start out in this anava karma and maya, we're immature. So how do we become mature? Through experience, but through positive experience, not just all kinds of negative emotional experience. Through positive experience, we mature the soul. So we have to do that. So we have to take ourselves seriously, and that's where anava comes into play. If you woke up in the morning and all you could do is be the one being of God Shiva, you wouldn't want to get out of bed. You'd just sit there. I am Shiva, Shivoham, Shivoham. This is nice. I am Shiva. Never get out of bed. You wouldn't take life seriously. So we have to be denied that state to mature to it. So that's what anava does. It makes us think we're an individual separate from all other individuals. So this is a positive thing if we use it and accomplish things. So we're supposed to accomplish things to mature the soul. And anava helps us do that. But eventually, the sense of anava lessens, particularly during deeper meditations or after a profound festival puja, you know, the sense of a oneness comes in for a time being, and then it fades, of course. But eventually it gets stronger and stronger, and that's when you become fairly useless. That's a joke. Oh, we have to moderate that if we want to get anything done. Anyway, yes, that's the reason I brought the other book here. Read that quote. This is Vedanta Kesari, publication of Ramakrishna Mission, Chennai. They have two publications, one in English, which is this one, Vedanta Kesari, and then they have another one in Tamil, which I don't know the name of. And this whole issue is on bhakti, the path of divine love, and we know them very well. Over the years, we've worked together on a few articles. and they asked us to submit an article on bhakti and Tamil Saivism. So we wrote an article, the editing team polished it up, and they put it in. And it's, you know, it's our take on bhakti and Tamil Saivism, which is a theism leading into a monism, a duality leading into a unity. Both of them states of bhakti. Well, I'll read the quote, which explains it better than I could. Chogaswami quote. It's a letter to a young man. I am with you and you are with me. There is no distance between us. I am you, you are I. What is there to fear? Look, I exist as you. Then what must you do? You must love. Whom? Everyone. To speak more clearly, your very nature is love. Not only you, but all are pervaded by love. But there is no all, for you alone exist. All are you. Nice quote. Okay, have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya. Om.